300,000 Christians in North Korea right now. And I want to say praise God to the glory of God. Because these people are coming to Christ knowing that their life expectancy in most cases is like 6 weeks. But see, the thing we've got to get through our heads is if we know Christ, we live forever. So to have even 6 more months on this earth isn't really the point. The point is to live forever with Jesus, and He really is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So for them to know Christ is absolutely essential, and we see it in this story. Pastor Han was just an amazingly gentle man who loved the Lord, was willing to risk his life, take the gospel to people that didn't have it and had no hope. I'm just going to tell you, in North Korea, their government just literally starves their people. And right now, they are having a campaign to help those Christians in North Korea reach out to their own people. Because you and I can't go to North Korea and become missionaries there. I'm just going to tell you, it won't work. The minute we walk through that into that country, if we could even get a visa to go into that country, we would be instantly recognized as an enemy. But they can reach out to their own people, and this is how they're doing it. Since everybody's starving there, if they do have food, they share it. And whenever they share it, then they can also share the love of Christ. They do it by action first, and it's an unusual thing to share food there because everybody's starving to death. And so what they're asking for through Open Doors is for us to donate to send rice to North Korea. They have some ways to smuggle it in. And once the Christians get the rice, they share it with their neighbors and they share Christ. And that's how people are coming to know Jesus. That's eternity, right? Just like Pastor Han handed him the Bible and said, "Now you do know you could get in big trouble for this." He was reluctant to give it to somebody who wasn't serious about it. But if he was serious about it, he needed that Bible. And man took that Bible, and disciples are being made even after Pastor Han's life is gone. But you know, here's the thing. What would we do if it is my aim and goal as the under-shepherd of this church to try to prepare you for whatever that is in that dash, that if dash right there, that line. You know, have you ever looked at a tombstone? What do you see on a person that's passed? You see their name. You might see a couple little things about them, and you see a beginning date, and you see an end date. What do you see between those two dates? A dash. Man, I'm just going to tell you, whatever happens in that dash is a really important dash. That's a very important little blank that needs to be filled in. We're still in the dash, and we need to make sure it counts for the kingdom of God in every area of our life. And I can just say, whenever we ask that question, what will we do if, and God is the one who gets to fill in the blank, amen? We don't get to fill in that blank because we don't know what's going to happen from day to day. God's the one in control. Some of our choices can make that dash a little different, but we know that ultimately God has the last say. Well, how about Job? Did you ever think about him? How many of you guys have read the book of Job? Raise your hand if you've read the entire book of Job, all right? So what do you find about Job? Does it make you a little uncomfortable to read the book of Job? I remember the first time I read the book of Job, I was like, man, I just don't even know that I want to read this. Because if I read this, it may get me closer to having to suffer myself. But you know, the more that I've read Job, the more that I gain hope from Job. Let's go to that next slide, Daniel. Job was tested, wasn't he? Man, was he ever tested. Let's just go ahead and open our Bibles to Job chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 13. This is the very, 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 very bad day that all of us are afraid that we might have someday. You know, this is like whenever it just gets so bad, you think, man, it couldn't get any worse than this. And then the next person comes in and they make an announcement. And so this is the kind of day that Job had. Now, there was a day, this is Job chapter 1, starting verse 13. Now, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the donkeys were feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." I want you to know, I'm going to pause for just a second. I didn't read the first part of it.
All this was because Satan said if you didn't bless Job, he'd curse you to your face. He told God that. And then he wanted to test Job, and God said, well, you can test him, but you can't touch the man's body. So Job was a very wealthy man. He actually had 10 children as well, and he loved all of his children. In fact, he loved them so much that he would make sacrifices for them every day and pray for them, and just in case his children had sinned, that God would forgive them. That's how much he loved his children. Do you love your children that much, church? If you have children or grandchildren, I pray you love them that much. That what you want more than anything is for them to be blessed to follow God. But anyway, so he starts getting this news. So first, taking away his possessions. While he was still speaking, verse 16, another came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they were dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. This was the very, 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 very bad day. Can you imagine a day any worse than that? I mean, like, I'll be honest with you, I'm not really all that attached to my stuff. The first part of that's like, oh yeah, well, whatever. Stuff comes and goes. Man, whenever he got to my children, that got my heart. That got my heart right there. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head to show humility, brokenness, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. What would we do if? What did Job do when? He worshiped God. I'm going to tell you, that's not going to be your natural response. Unless that's cultivated in you. That's not a response of the flesh there. That's a response of the Holy Spirit there. And I want you to know the only way we can fill in that what do we do if is to be cultivating the Spirit in our life every day. That's the only way we can know what we'll do if. What we'll do if they outlaw our Bible. What we'll do if they outlaw speech, a Christian speech in public. What we will do if we lose our family and those people closest to us. What we will do if, well, we continue on and we hear his words. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Praise God for Job's response. Because I can say it was God through him that made that kind of response. It was the strength of the Lord. Well, you know, we can break this down. We could get into theological discussions on who really did this. You know, Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord giveth, Lord taketh away, right? Well, Satan did it, but God gave him the permission to do it, right? So what we understand is nothing in this universe moves without God's permission. I want us to understand that totally. That even in North Korea, all that stuff that goes on over there, God's got a purpose that he's bringing forth to glorify himself through that. He's got a purpose in your life to bring forth beauty out of our suffering. I want you to know that it's not an unusual thing for us to suffer. In fact, Jesus promised that we would have to suffer, right? So Job was tested, and so will you be tested. So will I be tested. In fact, John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. He wants us to have peace, even through testing. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Guys, we too, if we cultivate that relationship with God, can give a response as Job did on that very, very bad day. Now, I'm not wishing a bad day on you, don't get me wrong. In fact, I pray for every one of you that God would bless you, but I pray that whatever is necessary for our spiritual growth, would happen. And sometimes it takes discomfort for us to grow. How does the eagle fly? When the mama ruffles up the nest, exposes the little pricklies in it. And eventually we'll even push that small eagle out of that nest to fly. It gets uncomfortable sometimes, but we need that. It's not a sign that we're doing something wrong, guys, whenever suffering comes in, but rather something right. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." In fact, if we're not feeling any pushback, we might want to wonder, am I doing something wrong? John Wesley was one. He thought it to be very odd if he didn't take on abuse from somebody in a given day. In fact, he was good about keeping a journal, and in his journal, he was like praying and crying out to God. He said, "If I've done something to offend you, Lord, have you forgotten me? For I've gone this entire day and no one's thrown a rock at me or cussed at me yet." But then later on the same day, he was rejoicing because someone came along and threw a rock at him and gave him a hard way to go. What I'm saying, guys, is it's to be expected. If we're living truly a godly life, it's going to, the enemy's going to take notice. And he's going to come after us from time to time. And the enemy isn't the people, but he can use the people. Do I get an amen? But we don't hate them because, you see, they'd be different if they knew. You know what? I was listening to the Open Doors representative on the radio the other day. I think it was on Saturday. And he actually told a story that I am just so excited about. You guys know about ISIS? ISIS is a bad group, man. Bad group. One of their second-in-command leaders there was a prince. He actually gave his life to Jesus. Can you imagine? Isn't that exciting? And I mean, like, it's for real. Like, it's the real thing. They're trying to kill him now, too. You see? I mean, what happened? I'm going to tell you a little bit about this. So they're out persecuting, you know, anybody that's not like them, and especially the Christians, and doing these horrible things to them. He has this dream, and in his night vision, there's a man dressed in white standing beside his bed, and he's got like this bowl of blood, or this pool of blood. And so the man said, this prince from ISIS said, he smelled the blood, and it smelled like perfume, and it puzzled him. He was troubled by this dream, and he didn't understand this dream until finally he asked a Christian about this dream, and the Christian explained the gospel to him, that Jesus poured out his blood for us, and how beautiful that is. And that man gave his life to Jesus on the spot. Had to leave his place in that horrible mess that they have been doing. I just want you to know, nobody's too far from God to be saved. But it takes us being faithful for them to be able to see it. Can you imagine being the guy he asked? Would you be faithful? If. Because it could mean everything to the person that you're being a witness to at that moment. You see, it's a sign we're doing something right rather than that we're doing something wrong, and it's going to happen to any of us that are doing it. But let's look at how it's better than the alternative of not doing it. Because in 2 Timothy, the following verses, he says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It's one or the other. If God's called us, we are called to be faithful. If we're not faithful, then we are on the opposite side of that. We really have to make a choice. He said, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Guys, I'm going to tell you, even if we got to receive a little persecution, a lot of persecution, whatever is in that blank, it's worth it to follow Jesus. He is the Lord and Savior, the only true way. Praise God. So what will we do when? You notice I changed it just a little bit on the next one. Not if. It's a when. What are we going to do when hard times come? Will we be faithful? Philippians 1:29 says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake." It is a win. It is a guaranteed thing. We are going to feel some suffering. I know you're saying, boy, Pastor, if you're trying to build me up, you're not doing a very good job this morning. I want you to be excited that God will give you the grace to overcome. This isn't an if, it's a when, that if you're in Christ, He will get you through it and He's going to strengthen you. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work to the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. All things, even the suffering. But you see, guys, we gotta be somewhat built up and prepared for it. And that's what we do here in the church, is encourage one another to be prepared. Because we're all going to feel it sometime. Here's a question that is proposed in Jeremiah. This is not in your study guide. You can just listen. This comes from Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the footplain of the Jordan? Guys, they were getting ready to undergo the most amazing trial that they could ever imagine. And Jeremiah is saying, how are you going to be able to endure if you're not applying yourself now and being strengthened? So here's my thing to us today, my encouragement. Be prepared by doing the small things every day. That's why we talk about things like just some of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. You know, if we can't get like regular in our attendance, then how are we going to do if we have somebody standing down the road saying we can't go to church? If we can't go whenever we're free to go, what are we going to do if we're not free? You see, China prepares their people for suffering from the get-go. The moment that they come to Christ, they ask them before they even get baptized, are you willing to die for Jesus? Are you willing to witness, even if it means that you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison? Are you willing? I mean, they're called to count the cost before they ever agree to get in the water to baptism. But you see, the Chinese church has grown under persecution. Now, on the other hand, the Russian church really depended on the hierarchy of the church and their priests and their big cathedrals. And man, at first, persecution devastated the Russian church. And eventually, they had a seed of the church who really was faithful, and they began to have an underground church. But I'm going to tell you something. The Chinese church is not very underground. Those people are incredibly tenacious, and they expect to go to prison for it. They're like, they ask each other, have you been to seminary? Guys, they're not talking about the college down the street. They're talking about your original 3-year prison term. That's their seminary. Everybody gets 3 years prison term the first time they're caught witnessing to other people, and so they just call it seminary. That's where you go to get your training from God. You get to be undivided attention for a little while for God to train you. I wonder if we'll be that tough if it comes our way. I pray we will. I pray we'll be so filled with the Spirit. And we'll be so, you know, other fundamentals of the Scripture that we'll find scriptural fundamentals of the Bible. How about just being in the Word of God every day? If you can't be in the Word of God every day right now, how are you going to remember any of the Word of God if they take your Bibles away? You know, that's how we memorize, that's how we learn more, is just by being in it, listening to it, reading it, you know? And some of you guys are doing that, and I say, praise the Lord, but that's why we're going to encourage everybody to do that. Understand and apply the Word of God. Be ready for whatever may come our way, because it's going to come, and it don't have to come through the hands of other people either. It can just come through life. Life can be kind of rough sometimes, can't it? A lot of people say, how's life treating you these days? I'll say, terrible. But God's good. You know, really, the world would love to destroy you. I just want you to know that. Because Satan is the prince of the world. But just remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And cultivating that relationship with Jesus. You see, we can suffer with Jesus, or we can suffer alone. But we're going to suffer one way or the other at times. Everybody says, amen! We just know it's true, though, right? We can suffer with Jesus or we can suffer alone. What makes the difference? Now, Jesus laid it out for us. Matthew 7, 24 through 25. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Do I get an amen? But, next slide, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended." You notice it didn't say if the rain descended. In every life, we're going to have that time, right? "Rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Guys, I'm going to tell you, we can do it with Jesus, or we can try to do it without Jesus, and I guarantee you, if we try to do it without Jesus, none of us have the strength. But if we want to have the response that Job had, "Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord," then we need to cultivate that relationship each and every day. You may be trying to do that, and you may be getting really frustrated, because you may be trying to do that in your own strength. First thing we got to do is give our heart fully and completely to Christ. And we may have done that in salvation, and you know, we could very well be saved, but still trying to do it on our own. Do I get an amen to that? Does anybody ever do that? You give your life to Christ, you tell Him, "Hey man, it's all yours, you know, you got it." And then we try to wrestle it back out of His hand. And then while we're trying to wrestle it, you say, "Well, what does that mean to wrestle it back out of His hand?" It means that we try to insist on keep doing it our way. Guys, what you're going to do is you're going to wear yourself out wrestling against Jesus, because He's way stronger than you. He isn't going to change for you. I figured that one out. I tried it. I tried praying against God. I tried talking Him into all kinds of stuff there for a while. And I realized, man, I am wearing myself out before I ever even hit the playing field. I'm done wore out before I get there, because I've been wrestling with Jesus about those areas I don't really want to totally give Him. Whatever it is He's calling you to give it to Him, folks. Because He really wants to give you something better in return. That's really what it's all about. And whenever you can get to where you can trust Jesus and just give Him everything. The hurts, the habits. Do I get an amen? Whatever. Any kind of hang up, any kind of, it may be unforgiveness, and you're saying, "I'm not going to give that to Jesus, I'm holding on to that one. I kind of like having my little idol unforgiveness." No, you don't. It's killing you. Give it to Him. What He'll do is He'll give you fresh life in exchange. And then we're ready. We're ready. Let the rain come. Let the floods come. Because my house is built on a rock. I can tell you, it won't matter if somebody comes along and says, "Here, you can't have that Bible." It won't matter if they say, "Here, you can't say the name of Jesus here." You're going to do what you feel like God's telling you to do. And you're going to do it joyfully. So I pray for you right now that you will surrender your hearts to Jesus. Now, there may just possibly be a person in this room or two that haven't really called on Jesus for salvation yet. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it seems huge and it seems impossible before you do it, but I want you to know it's actually pretty simple. It's as simple as repenting of your sins. It's as simple as turning away from your way of doing things and saying, "Not my way, but your way, God. I believe Jesus is the one who died for me, and I believe that He rose again from the dead. Please forgive me in the name of Jesus and be the Lord of my life." Now, that first act is as simple as can be to become a Christian. It really is. It's not any more complicated than that. It's the beginning of something, though. It's not the end. Now, I guess if you drew your last breath right whenever you said that last prayer, that would be it. But most of us don't. Most of us still have a life to live past that. And Jesus wants to be a part of it. In fact, that's what Lord is. He's the leader, the King. So call on Him to be your King. Give Him the kingdom of your life. Give Him control. And see what happens next. It's exciting when we face it with the power of God. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, I pray that You would bless us, Lord, just to surrender everything to You. It's the only way we can prepare for the if or the when. because we know it's going to come. We know we're going to be challenged. We know we're going to be tested. We know our faith is going to have to be refined. And we know that sometimes it's going to be painful. But we know that you're greater, you're bigger, you're able to get us through anything if we'll just trust you. Lord, help us to truly trust Jesus today. In Jesus' name, amen.